sucks. Let's see here. Birdland BS Podcast, huh? Let's give that a try. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Birdland BS Podcast, a Baltimore-based podcast with a lot of BS opinions. I am Matt Talley, and joining me, as always, is the magnanimous Fred Donahue.
Backstreet's back. All right. Welcome back, Matthew.
You already got me started on a Backstreet Boys thing, man. Once it starts, it doesn't stop.
Oh, this is going to be a long episode.
Yeah, it's just going to be me covering Backstreet Boys songs the entire time. Good to be back, man.
Yeah, man, good to have you back. I had a lot of fun with Ryan, but...
big thanks to Ryan Hewitt for filling in and
absolutely
and covering for me. He did a great job. We should have him on, like the three of us should do stuff.
Yeah, I think he would love to do that. So, yeah, we'll make that happen.
Plus, I don't have very many ginger friends, so...
See? He's my one and only.
Right, exactly. He's the guy where you can make ginger jokes and be like, it's okay, I got a ginger friend.
Right. I mean, he's fierce melonhead, fire crotch. Yeah. He doesn't care.
Exactly. Oh, man. So how was your week?
It's been really good.
I feel like it's been pretty long for some reason. Like, we both went to opening day, but I feel like opening day was 2 weeks ago for some reason.
Well, that's because at least on my end, I'm old. And
it took
me like 3 days to recover from the drinking that happened on opening day. So I don't recover good, as huh? quickly. Yeah, it was
B12. B12 is the secret.
Yeah, right. Nah, but how was your opening day experience for your first go around?
Yeah, it was my first time going down there, and it was cool, man. I had to pick up my wife from work, picked her up around 1, I guess. So we got there around 2. We parked we got one of those parking pandas where you reserve the parking spot ahead of time.
Right.
And the regular parking garages that you would normally park at when you go to an O's game were insane. Like, they were more than our tickets.
Yeah.
Like, some of the parking garages were like $150.
What?
Some of them were insanely expensive. So it was like, I'm not paying that much. We ended up parking like a mile away. My wife kept calling it 0.8 miles. But for a big guy like me, it felt like 1.8 miles.
I know that feeling. We ended up parking up by Lexington Market, which is, in reality, it's only like 3 or 4 city blocks or something like that. But again,
right.
Somebody my size, that felt like 3 or 4 miles. So
yeah, we were literally right across the street from the aquarium.
Okay. All right. So that's not too bad.
It wasn't bad. It was nice. It was, you know, breezy and nice outside. So it was a good opening day. What did I do when I got there? When I got there, we got in, we went to our seats. On our way to our seats, saw Larry Hogan, the governor.
Nice.
He was there.
I think I saw that on the Instagram. That's nice.
Yeah. He posted on Facebook later on, like, all of his pictures, just with, like, thousands of people. Everybody wanted to take pictures with Larry Hogan. Right. And I swear to you, in every single picture, that dude had a beer in his hand.
Go, Larry. You're my kind of guy.
You are getting voted in for a second term, sir.
Absolutely. You've got my vote now. Yeah, I think mine started at about 9:30. I think that's when the first beer was cracked anyway.
Nice.
We went down to... We ended up actually hanging out outside of Sliders this year instead of hanging out... I mean, not that it's far from Pickles. It's just all
right.
Gated off now. But yeah, got down there with a bunch of friends about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and hung out there until they opened the gates around... Let's see. I think they opened the gates early this year.
Yeah, I think it was at 12 this year.
Yeah, but I think we ended up hanging outside until like 1 or 1:30 and went inside. And this was a big opening day for me. I mean, this is... 25 years now at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. It's hard for me to believe that, because, you know, I've been to 15 straight opening days, and I was, luckily enough, I was at 10 years old. I was fortunate enough to go to the last game at Memorial Stadium, and then also the first game at Oriole Park. And
that's cool.
Those are 2 days that, you know, will stand out for me forever. I can remember them like yesterday. I remember at the old stadium when they brought all the old players out and they're throwing balls into the stands after the game, and here comes this limousine out of the center field wall, and these guys in these white suits get out, and they dig home plate out from the ground at Memorial Stadium. They throw it in the back of this limousine, and then they drive it down to where Camden Yards is going to be, and they put it out, and they put it in its spot. And then, you know, the next year to be in that stadium, it's just crazy. And how well and how good that stadium has stayed together in 25 years. It's still...
Absolutely. I mean, it is kind of... They've had so many baseball stadiums... Sorry, ballparks. It's not a stadium. It's a ballpark.
Right, right.
So many ballparks, you know, modeled after Camden Yards.
Exactly.
It kind of, you know, changed the game when it came to ballparks. So it's cool to see that it's, you know, withstood the test of time. Now it's like the 10th oldest.
Right.
So many teams are building all these new ballparks, and now we're like the classic looking ballpark, which is kind of cool. Like, I've been to a few other games at a few other different stadiums. I've been to obviously Washington and New York, and those are cool just because they're newer. So like, they have some cool aspects about them, but right. it still isn't, it's not the same. Like,
no. And you'll get that from a lot of fans. I tend to talk to a lot of fans when I'm at the games, and, you know, out of town fans, I always try to get them involved in the conversation and get them to talk about their ballparks. Cause I've been to a lot of ballparks as well. I just haven't gone out to a lot out in the West Coast. And, you know, most everybody that you talk to will say that this is by far the coolest stadium that they've ever been to, or their coolest ballpark that they've ever been to. So
that's cool, man.
Just crazy. 25 years, man. How fast it's gone. It's pretty unreal.
You're old.
Right.
You are old. So let's talk about the important things that happened when we got there. Okay. First things first, how excited were you? Like, cause I, for some reason it didn't click for me until they were calling out the visiting team's roster. Oh shit, Batista is going to get called out. And I leaned over to my wife and I was like, wait until Batista comes out. She was like, why? I don't understand. I was like, everybody here hates him. And so, you know, they're calling out different players, and everybody, you know, there's a few like small claps, some get a little boo, right. And then Batista comes out and it's this like thunderous roar from the entire ballpark.
He is public enemy number one in this stadium anymore.
We hate him so much.
He was already hated, but now that David Ortiz is gone from the Red Sox,
right.
Like, now there's all this extra hate towards Bautista. It's like, well, we could hate a little bit for Bautista, and we could hate a lot for Ortiz, but now it's just all the hate goes towards Bautista, and it's great. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, he's promoted as the number one villain in the AL East.
Absolutely. And there was talks about him in the offseason about coming here, and I thought it was really cool of Dan Duquette to say, you know what, no.
Baltimore hates him.
Baltimore doesn't really like you.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
He was so honest about it. Just like, no, Baltimore doesn't like that guy. Baltimore hates that guy. There's no way we're signing him.
Now, on the reverse side of that, though, please tell me you put your hands together pretty loud and you made sure that you gave the appropriate ovation this year for Kim. He deserved
it,
man. That was 2 years of coming. I made sure I stood up, I cheered, I screamed, I yelled extra hard for him.
No, I completely agree. I did the same thing. Another guy that I was glad got a little bit of a cheer was Steve Pierce. I was glad to see that they didn't turn their backs on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he
the one thing that really pissed me off, though, is that when the game was tied, they showed that montage of 2014 with Steve Pierce.
I missed it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
They played this like montage of his hit during the 2014. I guess was the playoff. Yeah, it was a playoff game.
Right.
And it's like the whole crowd's going crazy, and the Orioles are going back to, you know, the playoffs for the first time.
Right.
And it's like, are you kidding me? Why are they playing this right now? It's tied in like the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah.
And you're playing a video from a guy who's playing on the other team right now.
Right. And I'm pretty sure he went like 3 for 5 that game. He did pretty well.
He did. They showed every single hit. It was like, what are you doing? And he came up like 2 at-bats later. And it was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, so ridiculous.
I thought one of the really cool moments in the game, not really cool, but just the way that the fans reacted was when Pilar went back to back with the bats into the
oh
stands.
Yeah,
not that that's cool at all. You know, those bats can kill somebody,
right?
But
yeah,
for them to the fans to lay into him the way that they did,
oh, they did,
well deserved, mm-hmm. Very well deserved.
I love the throw it back chant. Throw it back,
right?
Awesome. Other than that, man, opening day was cool. The one question that I have to ask is, you guys talked about it a little bit on last week's podcast, was did you get anything good to eat while you were down there?
Yeah, I actually I ended up getting the chicken tender and crab dip sandwich. I got that late on my way out. I was determined I was going to get one before I left, and I was actually surprised that they still had it, because a lot of people in the stands were talking like, oh, the vendors are running out of food. You kind of got to get what you can get, and this, that, and the other thing. But fortunately enough, the place had it, so I got that. It was good. It was what I expected. It wasn't great or anything like that, but I would get it again.
Right.
But I made sure I filled up on the out-of-stadium food before I went in, because Lord knows I needed it with all the alcohol that I drank before going into the stadium.
I hear you.
But, yeah, let's move on a little bit to the actual game in itself.
Sure.
How impressed were you with Gausman?
I was slightly impressed. I wasn't impressed.
No?
Impressed is not the right word for it. I think he got himself into trouble a lot, and I think he got himself out of trouble a lot. I would prefer that he just not get himself into trouble.
Right.
So he recovered, and he did well when it came to that, but I'm not sure they needed to keep him in as long as they kept him in. I think that it could have been a different game had they not.
Right.
I think he just... opening day jitters, you know, you're starting off the season, and I think that was probably a big part of it.
Right.
I just think that maybe he and Castilla haven't, you know, gelled just yet. It's first game of the season, and I think that you know, they may have a while to go when it comes to that. So I was okay with it. Wasn't super impressed, but I was glad that he kept himself out of, you know, a ridiculous amount of trouble, and came out and win. So
yeah, I mean, I kind of felt a little bit of the same way. I mean, I thought he pitched well considering the circumstances. You know, he's a young kid getting his first opening day start, that type of thing. So I'm sure there was a ton of jitters that went along with it. He just needs to be a little bit more efficient. This was kind of the problem he had last year, throwing too many pitches when he's getting ahead in the count and that type of thing. You know, you get ahead in the count, finish the batters off, shorten your innings up, because that's eventually what knocked him out of the game. I mean, his pitch count was really, really high. I think they took him out after 5 2/3. You know, you'd like to see him at least get into the seventh inning, if not through a full seven innings pitched. But all things considered, you know, I mean, that's a, if not the best hitting team in the American League, one of the best hitting teams in the American League. So to be able to keep that team at bay, not give up any long balls or anything in a small ballpark like Camden Yards, I think he did pretty well.
I agree. That being said, I have a statement that I need to make.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of that game, remember the whole "who would you rather sign" conversation that we had?
Oh yeah. Are you going to renege?
Yeah, big time.
Okay, I figured so.
Yeah, dude, Manny, and that throw that he made,
unbelievable!
Oh my gosh,
he's ungodly.
It is insane how good he is.
Right. I mean,
just pay that man. Pay that
exactly.
Man.
That it's like I said, man. Enjoy.
He
this.
Is the future of baseball.
Right. He is. Enjoy it as long as we possibly can. I hope that we can sign him for the next 10 years. But either way, I actually got a little scared at first, because when he dove for that ball, he kind of rolled over on
and
his
he
wrist.
Laid on the ground.
Yeah.
He did not get
and
back
he
up.
Laid down, I was like, right. So I thought, oh shit.
Oh shit.
Yeah. He sprained his wrist, or he broke his wrist, or something like that. But the amount of strength that he has in that right arm is unreal. To throw that ball from his ass and get him on stride at first base. Now, mind you, this was their leadoff hitter.
Right.
You know what I mean? This wasn't Miguel Cabrera running down the bases, or Jose Bautista running down the bases, somebody slow. This was their leadoff hitter running down the bases, and he still got him. Unreal. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Unreal.
Yeah, so I completely take it back. Bryce Harper can
thank you.
Go to hell.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, I like man. When a man can admit he's wrong.
I was so right. As soon as I saw that play, I was like, I take it back. Somebody, we need to start a GoFundMe page for Baltimore to pay Manny Machado.
Right.
That's what we should do, that because Angelos isn't going to pay him. Baltimore should just all chip in. How many people are in Baltimore?
I don't know. Is it like 6 million or something like that?
6 million. Okay. So that's what, $50 per person?
Right. Something like that.
Everybody chip in $50.
Right.
And we got Manny.
There we go.
So
I like it.
There you go. Just
we'll start the campaign.
We should do that.
All of our 130 followers that we have, we'll start the campaign. $50 a person.
Bring back Manny Machado.
That's right.
Oh, man. But also in that game, Mark Trumbo
yeah.
Gave me
a hit a trombone. Yeah, did you have some kid up there talking about boners or something?
It was like everybody kept saying trum bombs and trum bombs and trum bombs, and this one guy was like, "Mark Trumbo gives me a trum boner," and I guess his kid was with him, and just from then on, that little kid was like, "Trum boner, trum boner, trum boner."
That's all you got to do is say it once to a kid.
Oh man, and it was like he's like, "Shut up, stop it, knock it off, no, just stop saying that, stop saying that," and I'm like, I am dying because this dad is trying to correct his kid or whoever this kid was in relation to him, and that kid was like not having it, just like, "No, I know you hate this word, right, and I'm in public and you're not gonna hit me, so tromboner." End of the game, he gave me a tromboner, so
right. What a cool moment for that guy though, right? You think he just signed a 3-year contract. Yeah. He hits the first walk-off home run in Orioles history on opening day. Yep. He got his Silver Slugger Award earlier in the day from the year before, mm-hmm. And then he hits a walk-off to win the game. That's a pretty cool day for him.
Today was a good day.
Right. Yeah, today was a good day. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Speaking of his home run, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I didn't pose this question to you before the podcast, so I might catch you a little bit off guard. Do you think there's any animosity between Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo?
Absolutely.
When it comes to... You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Why do you think?
Because, you know, Davis had the year that he had last year and Trumbo came along and was like, "Don't worry, I got this."
Right.
And I don't know. I was talking to somebody about it.
Have you seen the numbers on Chris Davis's deal?
That's true.
I don't think he gives two shits. I don't think he cares one bit. He probably took him out to Ruth Chris and bought him a nice steak dinner afterwards.
That's true.
I don't think he cares one bit.
Yeah, exactly. He has his accountant do the math, and he was like, "You know this piss that I'm taking right now?
Right.
I just got paid $7,000
for it." Yeah, exactly. Well, then he came back, though. I mean, Davis, in the next game, he ended
next
up
game,
hitting
he had
his 200th home run as an Oriole. That was a pretty cool thing. He's climbing the board pretty fast in the ranks of Oriole greats, and I mean, this guy's still young. This guy's still got a long way to go in his career. A lot more home runs to hit. So for him to hit his number 200 in the second game of the year, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool feat.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of that game, Bundy came out of the gate and impressed the hell out of me.
Right? Did you see so they call it a cutter, but the way that pitch moved. It moved like a hard breaking slider, and you can see how much more effective he is with that pitch.
Do you think that he has the potential to be like an Arrieta or anything like that in the future?
Absolutely, he's got all the tools to do it. The main thing with him is just staying healthy and making sure that he recovers 100% from that arm injury. I mean, that's a serious surgery. Now, granted, there's been a lot of advances in that surgery over the years, and it's been very successful and all, and he's still very young. So I could see him doing an Arrieta. Now, Arrieta's still throwing in the high 90s. He's still throwing in the 96 to 97 range, which Bundy will touch every once in a while, but he's more at the 93 to 94 range consistently. But, I mean, look, he gave up one earned run, 4 hits, and had 8 strikeouts, no walks. Kind of the reverse of Gausman in the sense that he was very efficient with his pitches, got through 7 innings without, you know, any issues. And like I said, that cutter / slider, whatever the hell you want to call it, looked great for him.
It was cool looking.
Right.
Like you said, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't necessarily pay attention to that stuff as much. And I have been as of late, and it was cool to know that he was going to do that and then to watch it and watch the movement on that ball. And I was like, wow, that's actually pretty damn impressive.
Right. Exactly. And that's, you know, to think of how good he did last year without it, you know, the sky's the limit with this. This is going to be one of his best pitches. So I'm excited for it.
Speaking of great pitchers, I say that sarcastically, Ubaldo is pitching tonight.
Yeah. I'm sure that has started off swell.
Right. It is 7:45. Have the Yankees scored yet?
The last time I checked, it was 1-0. But I think Adam Jones just hit a single in the bottom of the first to tie it up 1-1. So I think that's where we sit. But listen, I love Ubaldo as a person. I've actually had a chance to meet Ubaldo in person, and I've talked to him. I talked to him for a good 20, 25 minutes. This is back when I worked at Lexus, and he had come in. He's just one of those really, really cool guys, like really open, really honest, really just a nice guy, but it only gets you so far, you know, when it comes to pitching. And he'll admit his biggest thing is being consistent. He is just the most inconsistent pitcher I have ever seen. When he's on. He is on, and there's not many pitchers out there that are better than him. But when he is off, I mean, he is garbage.
Noodle arm.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's really, really bad. So if he can put it all together, this is a contract year for him. So this is probably going to be one of his last contracts that he's going to sign, or at least his last bigger contract that he's going to sign. So if he's going to do anything, hopefully it's this year. He puts it together. Hopefully we see more than just a half a year out of him. We'll see. He's only a couple innings into his first start of the year, so I'm not gonna jump down his throat yet.
And we're already tearing him apart.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, Ubaldo. We just we're still a little bitter from the last game of the year last year.
Right. But on the flip side of that, and as a safety net, the Orioles have actually made a couple signings the last couple of days. They signed Edwin Jackson to a minor league deal, which was pending a physical. He's another dumpster dive for Dan Duquette. He's a journeyman starter. He's sub 500 winning percentage. He's never really stayed in one spot. I think he's played for at least 7 or 8 teams now. But he adds depth to the constant taxi or Uber ride from Norfolk to Baltimore. I mean, that's what it seems, is just that guys are going to be coming back and forth all year round. So he just adds depth to the rotation. He's another veteran starter. If they can get a couple of good starts out of him, you know, add a couple of wins to that fifth spot and that fifth rotation spot, well, there you go. That's a win. They just got Miguel Castro from the Rockies. Now, this was kind of a surprising move in my eyes. He was part of the Troy Tulowitzki trade that took Troy Tulowitzki from Colorado to Toronto. And he was a big piece in that trade to Colorado. He's only 22. He's got a really strong arm. The only thing with him is he hasn't been able to translate it yet at the major league level. In the minors, he's got a sub 3.3 ERA. Throws in the upper 90s, constantly around like 95, 97. So he's got a very live arm. Just needs to work it out, figure out what's holding him up from being productive at the major league level. He's got the tools. But again, he's only 22. And he's going to be in Bowie. And then they also traded for left-handed pitcher Andrew Faulkner from the Rangers this week. Another young guy, he's 24, but he's got options, which Buck likes, so he'll be going back and forth. This guy kind of reminds me a lot of Brian Mattis. Really, really good against left-handed hitters, not so much against righties. And then in a corresponding move to get him on the roster, the Orioles had released Daryl Alvarez, which... Mm-hmm. Kind of shitty how they treated this guy, you know. So they signed this guy from the Cuban leagues, and they know he's got a heck of an arm, and he's an outfielder, and he's got a good bat, and he showed the bat through the minor leagues, and he brought it through. Didn't really have a spot here at the major league level for him. Again, he has a hose of an arm, so they decide, well, if we can't get him as an outfielder at the major league level, let's convert him to a pitcher. So they convert him to a pitcher because he's got this great arm, and immediately he blows out his arm. As soon as he blows out his arm, boop, they cut him, and they bring this guy in. So that guy got kind of a raw deal, never really got the chance to be what he could be here.
Yeah. So last week I wasn't here, and I missed out on just the most exciting piece of news that I could have commented on, and I was kind of heartbroken that I didn't get a chance to. The Ryan Ripken signing to the Iron Birds.
I didn't think we were going to bring this up, but okay.
No, we're going to bring it up because I was planning to be a part of the podcast last week, and then some things came up and I didn't get a chance to do it. But you told me I wasn't allowed to tell my stories on last week's podcast because it was opening day and we have to be happy for the Orioles on opening day.
Right.
And we can't talk a lot of shit. But now it's not opening day. And I want to tell my stories.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So
I'll grab my popcorn.
This is... Yeah, do this. This is a you've heard the saying, never meet your heroes, right?
Right.
Definitely don't work for them either.
okay. Duly noted.
So I grew up in Aberdeen. Coincidentally, a family by the last name of Ripken grew up in Aberdeen.
You don't say.
Yeah. So I went to Aberdeen High School. Cal's everywhere. It's just this thing. Everybody talks about Cal Ripken all the time. Like, he's the greatest thing that's ever happened to the city, and he may very well be.
He's a pretty big part. Yeah.
Yeah. So I loved Cal growing up. When I was a little kid, before I, you know, went through my angsty years with the Yankees, you know, I went to O's games and Cal was my hero. I remember sitting on my couch when he retired and crying, because I think I was like 8 or 9 at that point, and crying because my hero was going away. I, you know, lived in the same neighborhood that Vi and Cal Sr. lived in.
Okay.
So I was in Boy Scouts. You'd go over to Miss Vi's house and she'd buy like 20 tins of popcorn. Like you knew, like,
she seemed like that kind of lady.
Yeah, she is. She's a sweetheart. Sweetest lady you'll ever meet in your
entire
life.
Didn't she get like kidnapped or something weird?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't even get me started on that. Okay. So she was the lady that you could count on, like, yeah, your grandma would buy a tin and your aunt would buy a tin and your family would buy a tin. You go to Miss Vi's house, she's buying 6 or 7 tins from you. And then your buddy comes along who doesn't even live in your neighborhood and was like, hey, Miss Vi, want to buy some popcorn? She buys 6 or 7 tins from them.
Well, her last name is Ripken. I think she's okay financially.
You should see, like, she lives in a very normal house in a very normal neighborhood. But it is a step up from every other house in that neighborhood. You can tell, like, that's the nice house in the neighborhood.
I think she's earned that, right? Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have any problem with that. So when I was 16, I got my first job. My first job was working at Ironbird Stadium.
Right.
I worked in the concession stands. I sold hot dogs. That's what I did.
Okay. That explains
the
a lot.
Next summer. Yeah. The next summer, I was promoted, I say that in air quotes, to doing the parties. So on each end of the stadium, they have those big, like, concrete pads where they...
So you went from wiener boy to balloon boy?
No. Like, I just, like, I still did catering.
Okay.
But, like, so I was just in charge of catering the big party rental places that they would rent out for, you know, birthday parties or corporate events or whatever.
Right.
So that this is where my first interaction with Cal comes in. Somebody from upstairs in the restaurant called out one day, and at this point I am like assistant managing the parties. So they're like, hey Matt, just go up there and handle it for the day. Mm. Take care of it. If it goes well, then, you know, you're more than welcome to stay up there, because they got tips and everything from all the, you know, corporate guests that come in and eat real food as opposed to hot dogs and stuff. So right. I go up there and I'm serving tables and I go to take Cal's order. And I go up to him and say, Mr. Ripken, you know, it's very nice to meet you. I'll be taking your order today. A little starstruck. Don't meet your heroes. Because he goes, yeah, I'll just have my regular. Like, not even like, oh, well, it's nice to meet you, or, you know, like, yeah. He in no way was he cordial or nice. I'll just have my regular. Okay, great. No problem. Assuming that when I walk back to the kitchen, these people will know what his regular is. You would think, right?
Right. If that's how
it's
he,
his regular,
if that's how he presented
it's his
it.
Regular, right? So I go back and I say, Cal wants his regular, and they go, what are you talking about? And I was like, I'm sorry. And they're like, well, he usually gets one of two things, and both of those things are on the menu tonight. So which one does he want? I said, I don't know. He said his regular. Which one does he get more? And they're like, just go back out and ask him.
Oh, geez.
So I go back out and, hey, Mr. Ripken, you know, I'm really sorry, but I wasn't aware that, you know, you get one of two things usually. And he said, I said my regular.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, yeah, no problem. What would that be, perchance? And he said, who's running this thing back there? And I was like, you know what? I'll take care of it. I'll go back there. So I go back there, and they're very frustrated with me at this point because I don't know what Cal's regular is. So they're like, you know, just take care of some dishes or whatever. So I'm like cleaning off dishes. And a few minutes later, one of the managers comes back to me and she was like, yeah, you're going to have to go back down to parties. I was like, why? What happened? She was like, yeah, Cal's super pissed. So just get out of here. So wow. I go back downstairs and I never see Cal again until after I graduate from high school. I graduate from high school and my job is, again, working at the stadium. This time I got a job on the grounds crew. And that was actually a pretty cool job because, you know, you get to go to all the games, you get to take care of all the fields and everything.
Yeah, I always wanted to do that when I was a kid. That seems like a cool job.
Super cool. It is a super cool job, especially like if you're 18 or 19 and you come out after the game and there's like a cute girl in the stands,
right,
and you just bring her a ball that's just in the back.
Right.
You're like, you know, that home run that they hit earlier. And she's like, yeah,
this
like this
for
is
you,
for
kid.
You. Just kidding. There's a bucket of these. Man. Oh, man, I can't think of my wife's in the other room, but I can't think of how many phone numbers I got from just giving out fake home run balls.
Got it. Yeah, I can imagine.
So anyway, every 4 or 5 years, they host the All-Star game.
Right.
It travels around to different stadiums. And this year it was the All-Star game. So I was part of the crew that designed the image in center field for that year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which was cool. Like, I'd never done it before. It's kind of neat how they do it. They have, you know, everything's sketched out on, you know, graph paper, and they show you how to do it. And I had a very limited part in doing it, mind you, just because I'm new, and that's usually the head groundkeeper's job. So we do it. It looks really cool. It's what was his name? Ferris, the
mascot.
The Iron Bird. And it was like a plane or something like that. I can't even really remember exactly what it was. But we do it. Looks good. And we're all hanging out in like the garage, and Cal comes over. He comes over on his gator. He's got one of those gators that he drives around the compound. He says, who are the guys that designed the field? And, you know, four or five of us raised
our
hands.
Was it you, restaurant boy?
Yeah, I'm glad he doesn't remember me at this point. And we all kind of like raise our hands. And he says, come with me. I got something to show you. And he says, guys, you see that field out there? Yes, sir. You see it? He said, when I finished playing professional baseball, do you know how much money I made per year? No. I made $6 million per year. You know how much money I make per year now? No. $2 million per year. How can we make that field look like a $6 million field?
What?
Because it was just like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So anyway, they had to redo the entire field. Moral of the story is that the head groundkeeper and like his assistant were like, we got it. Nobody touched the field.
Wow.
But yeah, he's just a very particular guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, those two experiences rubbed me the wrong way. Never meet your heroes.
Well, I mean, I get it. I understand if I would have had experience.
He's the owner. Right. He's the owner. Right. He kind of has the right to... You know,
and I'll be honest. I mean, I've treated a waiter or a waitress pretty shitty in my day too. But
absolutely, exactly.
It just so happened that this guy was Cal Ripken. So
right, it just so happened that this guy is the hero of my hometown.
Yeah, right. This guy had some kind of a streak. I don't know. He was around for a while. So his family's very prevalent.
Right, exactly. So Cal, if you're listening. I still love you, kind of.
Well,
please don't.
If Cal's not listening, I'm sure Brady is, and it'll get back to him.
Right. Brady, call Cal and let him know exactly what I said. Also, tell Ms. Vi that I'll take two tins of those popcorns that she orders from kids this year. Moving on, speaking of heroes riding off into the sunset, we'll move on to a little bit of football news, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's talk about CBS's new sportscaster, Mr. Tony Romo.
Yeah, man, that was a kind of surprising move. I still don't think anything is final with that. I mean, yes, he's made the announcement and everything, and he posted with the picture, the jacket on and all that stuff. But I still think that if the right offer comes out and the right team is there, I don't think he's still going to, I don't think he'll miss out on the opportunity.
I wondered, and I posted something on our Facebook about Jerry Jones ruining another career. I almost wonder if this was a case of Jerry saying, no, I'm not letting you go. The only way I'm letting you go is if you don't play for a team that I'm going to have to play against at some point. You know, he said that he talked about it with his family, and he's got a new kid that's going to be born in a few months, and he's been hurt so much that he doesn't know if he wants his kids to grow up with a broken down father.
Yeah, but here's
and
the
so
thing.
That was all part of it. But he also said, well, hang on, he also said that if the Cowboys ever called, he would immediately jump out of the announcer booth and hit the field. Like if Dak ever got hurt and their second string is somebody that they don't have any faith in, he would immediately quit his announcing job, throw on the star, and run out onto the field and save the day.
I don't doubt that at all. I think that he is a true Cowboy at heart. But I don't agree with Jerry Jones kind of give him that ultimatum, because think about it. The guy was set to make almost $27 million as a backup. If he would have, if Jerry Jones would have said something like that, if I'm Tony Romo, okay, if you're going to pay me $27 million to sit on the bench this year and hold a clipboard, that's tenfold what I'm going to make at the CBS booth. I'll do that for one more year and then I'll get the CBS gig. I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think Tony is at a crossroads, man. I really do think that he knows how hurt his body is, and he knows the punishment that he's taken in his career, and he's just a fragile guy. He's not a very well statured built guy. I mean, this guy he's taken his beatings. And, again, I think it would take the right situation where he feels 100% confident that if he went in there, he could have a good shot at winning the Super Bowl, because really at this point in his career, that's the only thing he hasn't done. So, you know,
I mean, That is that really the case though? The only thing that the guy's won two playoff games. I know a lot of people are going to get upset at me even mentioning this, but Stephen A. Smith made a lot of good points about Tony Romo. Are we making a big deal out of this? Is Tony Romo really the quarterback that we should go, oh my God, he retired?
No. I mean, this guy isn't even...
You know who else has two playoff wins? Tony Romo's backup last year, Mark Sanchez.
Right.
Like, they've done the same things.
I don't in any way think that Tony Romo is like a future Hall of Famer or anything like that.
No.
I've heard some people in Dallas clamor that he should be a Hall of Famer. I mean, what has he done? He hasn't done anything to be a Hall of Famer. Yes,
not at all.
He's been in the spotlight his entire career because that is what happens when you're the quarterback of America's team, quote unquote.
Right.
But no, I mean, he hasn't done anything to wow you or like you said, be a Hall of Fame quarterback. But at the same time, when the guy's healthy, he is a good quarterback. He can put up
stats. I think part of it is the lovable loser thing. Tony Romo, whatever you want to say about him as a quarterback, is one of the nicest human beings. Like,
yeah.
Every interview that he does, and you know, he has a reputation around the league of just being Mr. Wonderful.
I don't know. If you ask a lot of the females he's dated, I think they'd tell you something totally different.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's gone through quite a few women in his day that... Have had some pretty negative things to say about him.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yeah, but...
I guess that's just something I don't pay enough attention to.
That's something totally different. That's a whole other side of his
anyway,
life.
Speaking of retirement, we talk about one player going into it. Let's talk about a player coming out of it. Skittles.
Yeah.
Beast mode. Marshawn Lynch coming out of retirement and most likely going to play for the Raiders.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's still a long way to go for that to happen because I believe if I'm right, I think Seattle still owns his rights. So Seattle would have to.
I think I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Pete Carroll has talked about. Yeah, if he comes back, we'll probably just release him.
And if that's the case, because I know they did have a good conversation, according to Pete Carroll. I saw that in an interview. He said that they did sit down and talk for a while, but he didn't really release many details.
And Marshawn didn't say anything in that meeting. He was like, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I'm just here to listen to you talk, Pete.
You know why I'm here.
That's right. I'd like to see him come back. I mean, the Raiders lost.
I do too.
You know, they lost their running back in Latavius Murray, so they've got mm-hmm. a hole there. They've got a great, great young quarterback. So
here's a question. Do Raiders fans who are super pissed about them going to Las Vegas, do they change their mind now that Lynch is coming back? Like, oh, man, I hate the Raiders. I'm never going to root for them again. I'm going to burn my jerseys and burn my... Oh, we got beast mode? All right. Maybe I'll hang on
either
for another
way,
2 years.
Man, what a shitty situation. I mean,
yeah.
I'd rather have my heart ripped out and have the team leave and just be gone overnight like the Colts were than to have to deal with 2 years of knowing. Yeah, of knowing that this is the end. Like... This, you know, these are the last 2 years and I'm going to see this team play. Just rip my heart out, get it over with and done with and take the
that's
team
true.
And move.
Yeah.
That's pretty shitty on the NFL's note. But hey.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of shitty situations, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with him?
I think there's some things wrong with him upstairs. Mentally.
Well, yeah, obviously. but yeah.
Not sure what you're asking me there.
He's met with Seattle. He's met with Green Bay. He's met with all these teams. He met with Patriots this past week. Nobody's biting on Adrian Peterson.
Well, Adrian Peterson knows his value, and he's gone out there and proven it. I mean, even after the injury and everything and coming back from that at his age, you know, he went out there and was still one of the most productive backs in the NFL.
But that was 2 years ago, and then he got hurt again. Do you think he can do it twice? I'm not convinced that he can do it twice, and I think that most NFL teams are aware of that.
History would tell you no. You know, history would tell you no based on his age and based on the number of injuries he's had and everything. But if there's anybody that could, I think
it's
Adrian Peterson. He's the one guy that could do it. I'd like to see him stay in the league. I really would like to see him get a shot at Green Bay and really stick it to Minnesota. I told you that, I think, in our first podcast. I think that's his best option.
Speaking of Green Bay, now, this is the one relationship that I do pay attention to in sports because I love her, and I'm glad that this happened.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn broke up. So the Green Bay is going back to the Super Bowl. that's pretty. They
the
pretty much secured that
gone.
In. She gone.
She gone.
She gone. So kick Olivia to the curb, bring AP as your running back, Packers Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that could very easily be the fairy tale ending towards everything. But
that being said, Olivia, I am married, but if you are listening, I love you.
That makes two of us.
He can have you on weekends.
She is beautiful, man. I'll tell you that. Golly.
Apparently, she's like just one of the worst people in the world, though.
Well, that,
which is sad. It's so sad to like, because you know me, I love comic books.
Right.
She's also in like Marvel movies and stuff. So that makes me even more sad to know that a superhero is just a super bitch. moving on, let's do a little bit of Ravens recap. I'll let you hit on some of those things.
Yeah. So I guess the most recent news and some of the more surprising news that to some was that the Ravens ended up trading Timmy Jernigan to the Eagles. Along with their 99th third round pick to move up 25 spots to the 74th pick in the third round. A lot of people were kind of scratching their heads about that move and didn't really understand it. Here's my take on it. So you spent all this money on Brandon Williams. Timmy Jernigan's contract's up at the end of the year. You know you're not going to be able to sign him at the end of the year. You're not going to be able to keep him. Defensive tackle is one of your deepest positions you have on the team. You still have Carl Davis, you still have the guy that came up from undrafted last year was a huge surprise, Michael Pierce. They did draft the other guy from Michigan, Henry. So you've got three really good defensive tackles in the wings waiting, and you know you're not going to keep Timmy Jernigan. And Jernigan, I'll be honest, he kind of quit on the team at the end of the year.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at his stats, I think he had like five tackles in the last like three or four games. I mean, he wasn't playing to the level that we expect him to play to. And in this draft, talking about this draft specifically, okay, the first 100 picks, if you look at anybody's mock draft, the first 100 picks in this draft all have potential to be starters in the NFL, not Pro Bowlers. You know, there's a lot of Pro Bowlers in there. There's some even future Hall of Famers in this draft, but potential starters, you've got 100 people. Okay, now if you had the 99th pick, obviously you're at the bottom end of that 100. You move up 25 spots, that's the difference in possibly getting a starter versus maybe getting a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know you're going to get rid of this guy and you've got depth, why not do it? Get something for him. A lot of people said, well, you would have got a compensatory pick next year if you would have let him go and sign a deal. Yeah, but you don't know what the draft's going to hold next year. You don't know what kind of talent's there. You know the talent's there this year. So let him go. He's a cancer in the locker room. Harbaugh does not like people that are cancers to the team. And that's been reported by many people. So let him go. Get what you can get for him. And this was probably the best deal that they could get for him.
I agree. Speaking of deals, they are also in talks with Ladarius Webb to maybe bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be on a much lower money deal. And I'm okay
with
it.
It's a lot like that. It's a lot like that four-set move that they did. Exactly. Was it last year or the year before? So
yeah, and
I think that's good for them. Something that I don't think is necessarily good for them is the move that we've been talking about so much, and it seems inevitable at this point. Although today he did come out and say that, you know, I'm not jumping at anything
yet. He's not in a rush.
Yeah, Anquan Boldin.
Right.
I think it's going to happen. Just for depth's sake, I think they're going to sign Boldin, and if he stays, he stays. If he goes, he goes. But I wouldn't be shocked if they signed him.
I think that that's gonna be a post-draft decision.
I do, too.
I think that if they don't get the receivers that they want in the draft, then they'll sign him. Just kind of as a safety net type thing, as a stopgap filler, because you need somebody for a year and Flacco's already comfortable with the guy. But going back to Ladarius Webb for a minute, I think for the right money as a depth move, I'm all right with it. It brings back a veteran to the secondary who doesn't need to play every down now. You know, if he can keep his legs fresh and he's out in there, and what's good about him is he has NFL experience at everywhere. He's got it in the safety position now. He can play corner. He can play the nickel. He can play wherever you need him to play. And if you keep his legs fresh, he's not a bad defender. He's just not an every down player anymore. So I'm really happy with the move. Plus, I really like Ladarius Webb just as a person and what he's done with the community and all that stuff. So I think that'd be a smart move if they do end up signing him back to a deal.
I agree. Also, something you guys touched on last week, which is no longer conjecture. It's no longer people just guessing at this possibly happening. Pete Carroll has come out and said, no, the rumors are true. We are talking about trading Richard Sherman.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see Sherman on Twitter? Apparently, he's getting a lot of tweets from people in Philly. Philly really wants him for some reason. So all these people are tweeting at him from Philly. Like, hey, you know, you got to come. We got cheesesteaks. And he's like, I do like cheesesteaks. And he's just he's responding to everybody from Philly for some reason. They're like, our whole city has Wi-Fi. And he was like, you can't beat good Wi-Fi. That's true.
I haven't paid attention to that, but that's pretty funny.
Oh, man. So say what you want about Richard Sherman. We've talked about that, adding depth to that backfield, just because it's so good as it is now. But once you get past those starters, it seems like it kind of drops off a bit.
Right.
I think Richard Sherman is not only someone that's he's obviously going to be a starter if they were to sign him. I'm not sure that they would, but if they were to, he'd obviously start, and he would be that. I would definitely think that he'd be that voice in the locker room,
exactly,
leading that team. So I think that Baltimore would be a very good fit for Richard Sherman.
Yeah, I think the only thing that would hold that up is depending upon what Seattle would want in return. You know, the Ravens, right, usually aren't willing to deal draft picks and that type of thing, and I'm sure that that's what they would want. Also, it's got to work salary cap wise too. The Ravens, mm-hmm, are pretty tight on money already, and they've got all these draft picks that they're going to pick that they still got to sign and that type of thing. And they still have holes that they need to fill, a little bit more important than adding depth to the secondary. But like I said last week, and like you just said, he would add a lot to this locker room. He would be that vocal leader, and I like the way he's vocal. Ryan seemed a little against it. He doesn't seem to care for his personality. I, on the other hand, I like the outspokenness of him. I like the fact
that, don't you ever disrespect,
right,
me.
I like that.
Dude, that is still one of the funniest interviews in NFL history to me. Don't you ever disrespect me. Who's disrespecting you? So confused at what he's saying.
He's great.
Oh, man.
But
I love Richard Sherman. So
yeah, and another small signing, the Ravens ended up keeping Michael Campanaro in the, yes, books, mm-hmm, for another year. I think it's another good move. He's if this guy can stay healthy, he's a great slot receiver. He knows how to get open. He reminds me kind of like a Julian Edelman or a Wes Welker type receiver. He has that type of ability if he can stay healthy, and that's been his Achilles heel. Literally, yeah, since he's been in the league. So again, a low risk deal, not a whole lot of money invested in him, and he's only on a 1-year
huge
deal.
Potential upside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Flacco seems to be pretty comfortable with him.
Absolutely. So let's jump into basketball a little bit. We'll start with NCAA, and then we'll move on to the NBA. Obviously, the Tar Heels won the men's national championship, and the South Carolina Gamecocks won the women's NCAA championship. Yeah. Oh, man, that is my favorite word.
Did you get to watch any of the men's national championship at all, though?
I didn't.
Yeah,
no.
it was an awful played game. It was an awful officiated game. Free throws. I'd never seen such horrendous free throw shooting in a championship game before. It was just a bad basketball game.
Right.
I mean, I picked North Carolina to win it from the beginning. So yay, I won my bracket or whatever. But
did you though? Did you win it?
Well, I guess I picked the right one to win. But
just because you get the winner doesn't mean that you did well on your bracket.
Somehow Las Vegas told me the same thing. But Gonzaga, I was actually pulling for Gonzaga, you know, even though I knew that mm-hmm, I had picked North Carolina and North Carolina was the better team. I was pulling for Gonzaga just because, you know, I wanted somebody different to win. But man, it was just a really, really poorly played basketball game. And then, like I said, the Lady Gamecocks pulled off a national championship, then bring that back home to South Carolina. So that's exciting for them.
Good for them. I have a buddy that does a lot of graphic design, and he actually his firm is in charge of doing all the design work for the Gamecocks.
Oh, no.
So, like, they've commissioned them. So, he just does a ton of work. So, he just has so many shirts. He's not even a fan. He just has a ton of shirts that say Gamecocks because he thinks it's hilarious.
I would too if I was him. That's hilarious.
Oh man, he's got hats and shirts, and it's like, oh, are you a South Carolina fan? Right. Nah.
Well, it's other NCAA basketball news. Talking about, yes, we'll stick with the men's for a minute. Georgetown, they ended up naming NBA Hall of Famer and former Georgetown great Patrick Ewing and their new basketball coach. First time in a very long time that a John Thompson's not going to be coaching Georgetown. But in a former alum, Patrick Ewing had some experience coaching with the Wizards as an assistant for a little while. I think his aspirations are to be an NBA head coach. And I think he said that in an interview. But when Georgetown came calling, he couldn't turn the deal down.
No.
Yeah. And what a recruiter this guy's going to be. I mean, Patrick Ewing, a mm-hmm. Hall of Famer, comes walking in your front right. door. You can't mm-hmm. tell him no. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No,
and mind you, the guy's like 7 foot tall and like 350 pounds. I'd be afraid to tell him no. So
yes.
It'll be exciting. I used to love Georgetown when I was a kid. You know, even though I was a Terps fan, I was also a Hoya fan. I really liked Allen Iverson and Alonzo Mourning days and all that kind of stuff.
Everybody liked Iverson.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be good to see Georgetown back in the national spotlight. So
Speaking of Iverson, did you see the video, the parking video?
I had not seen the video. No, I heard about it. Oh, but my gosh. I have to go look it up when we get out of here.
Oh, maybe what we'll do is we'll probably just put it on our Facebook so people can go and check it out. Okay. Oh, it's so awkward. Anyway, we're short on time, so let's keep moving along.
All right. Let's talk about the
Lady
Terps.
Yeah, Lady Terps.
The Lady Terps. So not only did they lose at their shot at winning the national championship this year after a great regular season, but now they're all everything freshman of the year. Destiny Slocum is transferring out. And not only is Destiny, but a couple other teammates are going with her. Supposedly due to homesickness for some and lack of playing time for others. But I feel there may be more to the story than we're being led to believe. I mean, there's been stories on Twitter that her mom was sick and dying, and then she came out and rebutted that story and said, who's sick? Nobody's sick. And you know, there's been all this back and forth, but that's two star point guards for the University mm-hmm. of Maryland women's basketball team in 3 years that have left the program, Lexi Brown being the first and now Destiny. I don't know what that says about the women's program. I don't know what that says about Brenda Freeze, because everything that I've ever heard about Brenda Freeze and her relationship with the players has always been good.
Right. That was my thing. It was like, are we turning this into something that it's not? Are we sure this just isn't a 19-year-old kid who was like, F, I don't want to be this far away from home?
Right. And that very well could be. And my thing is, though, like, if that's really what the case is, come out and say that. You know what I mean? Just come out and say, hey, you know, I'm homesick. I want to play somewhere closer to home. That's just going to be a little easier. Huh?
She has. She's come out and said that.
Okay. All right. Well.
Yeah. No, she's come out and said that. But I think a lot of it is the assumption that, you know, maybe it has something to do with Freeze or something that's going on within the locker room that, you know, there's no way that this would happen twice in the row. Like, dude. Kids go to college all the time and realize that they don't want to go to that college.
No, that's
too
far
away from home. Happens all the time. And just because, you know, they are, you know, all everything, McDonald's all everything, doesn't mean that, you know, they're not still kids and they still want to be around their friends and be around, you know, their mom and their dad. So I think that's all that there is to it. Personally, I'm not convinced that there's anything going on in the locker room, because like you said, everything that I've ever heard out of Brenda Freeze is people speaking extremely highly of her.
Right, right. Well, let's move on. Like you said, we're short on time, but
yeah, moving on to other non-stories. Let's talk about you, because you wanted to talk about this. You wanted to talk about it last week. We'll talk about it this week. Let's talk about Russell Westbrook for a minute. We're on basketball. You, for some reason, are under the assumption that nobody likes Russell Westbrook and that he's just this underrated player. I do not understand. He's not underrated at all. He's all over the news.
Yeah, but it's you never hear him talked about in the likes of like a Jordan or a Kevin Durant or a Kobe Bryant. You never hear his name in that type of sense. And the thing that this guy is doing, the record that he's going after and he's going to break, this triple-double record, it's...
He'll probably break it tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Or tie it tonight.
If not tonight, tomorrow. Either way, yep. it's one of the more impressive records mm-hmm. in all of basketball. I'm not saying that this guy is the greatest basketball player to ever live, but I just feel like when the MVP talks start coming around and things like that, and people start giving up cases for this person and that person, I mean, what?
It'll inevitably go to Steph Curry or LeBron. Right,
exactly, because of the whole marketability thing. And this guy's in a smaller market town. Now he doesn't have Kevin Durant playing with him, so his team doesn't get the recognition that it used to get. You're letting one of the greatest talents in the league right now get passed over because somebody's a little bit more marketable. Somebody's in the spotlight a little bit more. And I think that's a shame because, you know, this isn't a record that LeBron James has ever broken. This isn't a record that LeBron James has ever come close to. But LeBron James.
Yeah, well, you're the one buying all this stuff for your imaginary kid.
That was a hypothetical conversation. Let that go.
Whatever. I hate your kid. I hate your imaginary kid.
Well, let's move on from that because I really don't want to get into a long discussion with that. But
okay, let's
move on to the NHL a little bit. Okay. So the Caps ended up clinching the President's Trophy again. Hooray! Yes. Golf clap. Yeah, that's good. Now let's go to the playoffs and let's actually win fucking something. I mean, let's get a Stanley Cup. I'm really really excited for this team, but I'm also really really pessimistic about this team. So I'm hoping they can find a way to end up pulling this one out this year. But something that caught me by surprise in the news with the NHL this week was that the NHL decided to remove themselves and remove all their players from participating in the Olympics coming up. So how did you take that?
Yeah, I don't necessarily, I mean, I get it, but I don't get it at the same time. I feel like it's kind of reminiscent of the MLB thing, which, again, I'm not a huge proponent of.
Right.
I think that, how do I say this nicely? I think the Olympics are boring as is, more so the Winter Olympics than Summer Olympics.
And this is one of the bigger attractions.
Right, exactly. This is the one thing that everybody can kind of agree on watching. Right. Everybody likes hockey. A lot of people like losing because somebody could get their head taken off, which you hope that doesn't happen, but you kind of hope happens.
Right.
So there are so few events in the Winter Olympics that everybody can agree on, and hockey is one of them. You have the Miracle on Ice. I don't understand. It's such a huge thing in the Winter Olympics that it just doesn't make sense to me that you wouldn't have the best of the best representing their country. It's going to be like, listen, I'm not even a fan of Russia, obviously, right. For obvious reasons. Right. Let's remove all news aside from the last 24 hours. I'm not even a huge fan of Russia, but it would be weird not seeing Ovechkin play for Russia.
Right. Exactly.
Like it just doesn't make any sense to me.
But I mean, if you listen to it, right, it's all about money. That's all it is. You know, the NHL is worried about having to shut the league down for so many weeks and that kind of thing and losing out money and that type of thing. But there has not been a single player. A single player in an interview say, I'm okay with this. I'm good with it. I mean, all the players are upset with it. And it's a stupid move in my perspective for the NHL. Because if you think bigger picture, right, the NHL in America is kind of playing.
America. Woo!
It's kind of playing third fiddle, right? So you've got the NFL, you've got MLB, and then the NBA and the NHL are kind of, we'll say, on even playing grounds. Well, this is a big showcase for your talent, for your players, you know, to promote your league, because everybody watches the Olympics. You know, even if it's not the most entertaining thing in the world, everybody watches the Olympics. I'll sit there and I'll watch curling and I'll watch stupid stuff that I would never watch.
Listen, you shut your whore mouth, because curling is probably the best part of I take it back. It is curling, hockey, and then the ice luge in that order.
I'll watch figure skating, for God's sake. I'll watch men parade around in tight outfits on skates and on ice.
But let's be honest, it's not every 4 years that you're doing that. It's every Tuesday night.
You're on.
But no, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think that when it comes to stuff like this, it's all a money grab. And, you know, you're used to seeing the NBA play. It's not like they've never had it. And now they're just saying, no, we're not going to do that. It's like they've been doing it forever. And now they're taking it away. It doesn't make any sense. With baseball, they've never done it.
Exactly. So you don't know what you're missing.
So like, you're not losing. I mean, people pay attention to hockey every 4 years. Everybody pays attention to hockey every 4 years, just like everybody pays attention to soccer right. every 4 years. Right. In that case, you know, it comes to the World Cup. But it's just, I don't understand why they're taking it away. It seems kind of greedy.
Well, we're about out of time, I think. So,
man, we talked a lot.
Let's just skip over the NBA this week. I'll come back with a extra special Wizards report next week. But hey, we're not going to forget the 2-minute warning this week.
No.
And I am giving up the reins this week to you, my friend.
All right, let's do this.
So your 2 minutes starts now.
All right, so first things first, one Mr. Ray Rice is back in the news. He is taking a job as a running back coach in New Jersey. So that'll be interesting to see if he... Yeah, good for him, man. Like, he did what he did, and I understand that there's a lot of hate behind it, but, you know, everybody deserves a second chance, and I don't think that Ray Rice is exempt from that. So good for him. He's got a job, and he's got a job doing something that he loves. Speaking of... ex-Baltimore associates, one Mr. Rex Ryan took a commenting job at ESPN's Sunday Countdown. So that is something that I am definitely not going to be watching.
That guy's got the worst potty mouth in the world. I can't see that lasting long.
There's no way. He's going to get fired so fast. Speaking of crazy people in football, Gronk appears at WrestleMania. Did you see that?
Amazing.
Did you see Gronk body slam the guy? So good.
That's great.
And then, not to mention that, they threw out the first pitch at the Red Sox game.
Really?
Like all the, you know, Robert Kraft and Tom Brady and Gronk. They all
the
came
jersey.
In. And Brady pulls out his jersey and Gronk steals the jersey and runs away. Speaking of Kraft, Robert Kraft told a Giants executive recently that had it been that the Giants were playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, that the Giants would have definitely not choked like the Falcons did. Just wanted to put
that in
there. And again, Kraft and Tom Brady talk. Tom Brady tells Kraft that he has another 6 or 7 years in the tank. Can you believe that?
Wow. Yeah, that's insane.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Running out of time here. Leonard Fournette shows up to Pro Day 12 pounds lighter, which is pretty impressive. That dude's going number one or number two easily. Dustin Johnson slips down steps right before the Masters. He played one tee. He teed off and said, nope, not doing it. So he immediately pulled himself out of the Masters yesterday. And finally, Derek Jeter and Jeb Bush are amongst the bidders for the Miami Marlins. That is all my time. I got that
in.
Derek Jeter.
Good job, my friend. Good job.
Derek Jeter.
Man. God.
Listen, I'm
you
not
are
a Yankees
clapping
fan anymore,
and
but
with Derek Jeter with an Oriole hat on right now. Come on now. That's like
listen, I'm just saying you
a sin.
You will always have respect for Derek Jeter and you
I will
it.
Always have respect.
You'll never
for
admit
Derek
it on
Jeter,
a life
podcast. Yes, I respect Derek Jeter the player. He is the one Yankee that I can't really say I ever had a lot of hatred towards.
He never ran his mouth.
No.
He came out and he played the game.
Mr. Yankee.
Absolutely. So that is going to do it for our podcast this week. Before we go, we have something very exciting to announce.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So we have what you will see on our Facebook and our Instagram and our Twitter. We have a giveaway going on. Yesterday, I had the chance to meet Jonathan Scope, which was
pretty
cool.
Pretty sweet.
And I got a baseball signed by him. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little promotion. We're going to do a little giveaway. You guys can log on to any of our social media sites and follow the instructions on the images just posted. And you'll have a chance to win that signed autograph ball by Orioles second baseman Jonathan Scope. So that's pretty cool. Check that out. By the time that you listen to this, I'm sure it will already be on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and share the crap out of that. Share it with your friends. Hopefully that, you know, garners some attention for us and we can keep doing this thing and you know, build our fan base even more. So we're pretty excited about that. Fred, you got anything else for the week? Anything you want to say to the people?
Nah, the last thing I want to say is we appreciate all the likes. We do appreciate all the shares. We appreciate you guys tuning in every week. This has been something bigger than what I expected it to be this fast. So from Matt and I, we thank you very much, and we hope that you'll continue to do that for us. There's some big things in the works that we're hoping to announce here in the next couple of weeks or couple months. So stay tuned. We're both really excited about all that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, until next week, we will see you guys. Goodbye.
Peace out, homie. Rock your body, yeah.
Everybody, yeah, rock your body right. Back streets back, all right. We're back again. Brothers, sisters, everybody sing. Gonna bring the flame, I'll show you how. Got a question for you, better answer now. Yeah. And